chapter 10. The message today is Jesus calling the names of men and of God. I read four scriptures to you and bring others to your attention in the will of God, but I'm purposely reading from Luke's Gospel first, and then we shall go back to Mark's Gospel. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And do thou, when once thou art converted, establish thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, until thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And now, Mark chapter 14. And they came unto a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me. Howbeit, not what I will, but what thou wilt. In chapter 15, verse 33, And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole earth or land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that our souls have been thrilled with the lives of all of your chosen ones you've recorded in the Scripture. Let us know that from the very first, when we read of Adam and of Eve, and then of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob and David and Joseph, our hearts have been touched by simply having brought to our attention the life of one of your creatures sent upon earth. We are thankful also, our God, for this one of whom we've read, also, who was a creature. We are aware that he was a creator. At the same time, thou dost tell us that he was a creature, because in your word it says, a body didst thou prepare for me. And our Father, we acknowledge him as God manifest in the flesh. We are thankful for the things that we have read, the words that he spoke. We pray that we shall be able to comprehend, at least in a small measure, the meaning when Jesus calls the names of men and of God. Prepare the hearts of those who listen and the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you last week about the same Savior calling names, but they were the names of men, mankind. And the difference between last week and this week is, in particular, the sphere in which our Savior existed when he called those names. Last week, he called their names as the one raised from the dead, as the resurrected one. This week, he calls their names as one in the days of his flesh. There are two time periods in which our Savior is presented to us in the Scripture. It says in Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, that means from the time that he was born and lived and died, those are the days of his flesh. But then our Savior said, I am alive forevermore. That is our Savior in his resurrection life. And he spoke to man in the days of his flesh, and he spoke to man in his resurrection life. One of the things that's so interesting is that having told them as much as he could to the very night in which he was crucified, betrayed, and then crucified, he spoke to them. And then it says, for 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he continued to tell them the things concerning the kingdom of God. So our Savior spoke to them personally in the days of his flesh, and he spoke to them personally in his resurrection life. And last week, it was our Savior in his resurrection life that spoke, and this week, it is our Savior in the days of his flesh. This is what is so thrilling, that our Savior always knows when to speak to a person, how to address that person, the name to call them, and precisely the words that should be spoken. He is able to comprehend everything you need, and in the fewest possible words, meet that need. Think for a moment from last week. Mary, who had a broken heart because she thought that some had come and taken away the body of her crucified Lord. And she was talking to the Savior. And finally, the Savior said one word. He said, Mary. And the broken heart was healed. Thomas was the one whose faith had been shattered. Unless I see him and feel him, he said, I will not believe. My faith is gone. And the Savior came and said, Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. So the faith that was gone now was restored by the simple speaking of his name and uttering a few words. What is so delightful also about Simon in John 21 is this. He had miserably failed his Lord, and a Savior appears to him on the seashore. And when he comes near to Jesus, our Savior says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Think, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Here is a man who had strayed from the Lord grievously. Speaking his name, restored his soul. That is the Savior that we have. Is your heart broken? The Lord Jesus can speak a word and heal your broken heart. And at the same time, if your faith is small, the Lord Jesus can speak your name and a few words to you, and your faith can be restored. And at the same time, if you have grievously sinned against the Lord can speak your name and restore your soul. That was last week in his resurrected life. This week, it is our Savior still speaking the names of men and the names of God, but in the days of his flesh. And what I have done is to select four instances in which our Savior called names, that he repeated the names when he called them. Now listen. First of all, in Luke 10, Martha, Martha, and then Simon, Simon, and then in Mark's Gospel, it is Father, Father, I will explain that to you later, and then my God, my God. So these references are unique. It is like this, though you have some similarities between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John, you only have our Savior prefacing great pronouncements and truths with these words, verily, verily, I say unto you. And in like manner, when our Savior is calling upon the names of men and of God in the references that I've read to you today, it is our Savior as in verily, verily, there is a repetition of the name that was spoken, both of men and of God. There is a significance. When John says verily, verily, you understand it's something of great importance. There is a distinction when he duplicates the word verily. One would have been enough. Because if you read in the Gospels, you will see at times some of the same truths were introduced by verily, I say unto you. But John introduces them by duplicating the word verily. And so in the portions that we have read today, our Savior duplicates those names. And what is so beautiful about it is, like I told you concerning the little girl, it brings out the true humanity of our Savior. It brings out the fact that our Savior was not a high priest who could not be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but our Savior was deeply moved by the feeling of our infirmities. Just like I told you last week, when Jairus' daughter lay before him dead, this is what he said to her. He said, little lamb, arise. Think now. So often, people have Jesus going through life. He is sinless. He can do nothing wrong. He cannot disobey the Father, as if he had no feelings at all, as if he went through life and had no emotions, no feelings. Anyone that can look at a little girl and say to her, little lamb, arise. He understands about children, the preciousness of children to their parents. He understands those things. And that's why he spoke to her as he did. And in like manner, when our Savior, speaking to those that are his followers, not only knows their name, but at the same time is able to speak their name once, such as Mary, that's all that was needed. But in these instances and at times, our names need to be spoken twice. And the very fact that he speaks these names twice, it signifies something to you. And if you did it, you would understand that it was not a normal, ordinary address, but something different when you speak a person's name twice. First, it means this, that you know who the person is. But when he speaks these names, Martha, Martha, it means that he not only knows what her name is, but he knows her character. He knows her disposition. He knows her inward thoughts. As David says in Psalm 139, you know my down sitting, you know my uprising, you know my thoughts afar off. And that is exactly what is conveyed when our Savior says, Martha, Martha. He understands Martha better than she understands herself. And in like manner, it's the same with Simon Peter. He has spoken to Simon before. In Matthew 16, he said this, when he asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And finally, Peter said this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon. He just spoke his name once. Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar Jonah. But here, in Luke chapter 22, he says, Simon, Simon, because he knows Peter's down-sitting and uprising, and he knows his thoughts afar off. And this is what you have failed to understand, that Jesus knows you. You have trusted Christ as Savior. Do you realize that he knows you by name? And when he sees you in heaven, he will call you by your name. It says in John 10, he calls his own sheep by name. And you say, how can he remember so many millions? That is nothing. It says that God calls all the stars by name. And they are numberless. The astronomers are astounded by the numbers of those stars, and God knows every one of them. He's given a name to every one of them. He knows the time when he brought it into existence. He knows when that star died. God knows all those things. And so when our Savior calls you by name, you say, as Nathanael said to him, which knowest thou me? The Lord Jesus knows all about you from the time you were born. And concerning the Christians, it says this, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. How can this be? How could anyone choose me before I came into existence, before there was any universe? Because he's God, that is why. So, when he calls our names, it means that he knows us. We are on speaking terms with him, but more than that, we are on such terms with him that he calls us by our names. There are so many, as much as I love you people, it's easy to remember one man's name if he's preaching to you, but unless I become familiar with you, I'm with you in your home, unless I spend time with you, I know your face, but I know you're a brother or a sister, I know you attend here, but I do not know your name. But there is no one that has genuinely trusted Christ that the Lord Jesus does not know. And this is what it says in 2 Timothy It says some people have their faith destroyed. They would destroy the foundation of God. But it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And if you as a guilty sinner have touched even the hem of his garment, he knows you belong to him. And he knows your name. And for you speak to him by name, Lord Jesus, you know his name. You say, yes, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Then you know his name, yes. He knows your name as well. You know what Jesus means, yes. It means the one who saves people from their sins, and he knows your name. Now, my name, that's the earthly definition of it. That's one thing. And at times our Lord makes a play upon the earthly definition, the meaning of a name. But at times we have names, and our Lord says, you have a name, that you live, and you are dead. And so the Lord knows that some of you have names and they're false. Some of you say, I'm a Christian. You realize that the Lord Jesus knows whether you're telling the truth or telling a lie? Because it says, he knoweth his own sheep, and he calls them by name. But in a coming day, some of you who profess to know Christ as Savior, but you've never genuinely trusted in his Savior, do you know what you're going to say to him? You're going to say, Lord, Lord, we know you. Don't you remember? You were in our streets. And the Savior is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How terrible to stand before the Lord and want to get into heaven. And he says, I don't know who you are. And yet, another one who had been rejected by his nation, the Lord goes to the sycamore tree and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide at thy house. And so beware. Be certain that you have trusted Christ as Savior, and he knows your name. And the next thing is this. Be thankful that the Lord Jesus is such a Savior that he knows when to speak your name, and he knows how to speak your name. Because there are some who can speak a person's name, and the speaking of that name infuriates the person that is spoken to. But when our Savior, knowing the need of this individual, speaks that name, the need is met and sorrow disappears. That is why our Savior is spoken of in Isaiah 50 as the man with a word in season. It says that the Savior, speaking to his father, says, thou hast given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so he knows us before we are saved. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I have to spend the day at your house. And then that day, the Savior says, the day of salvation comes to this house. You see, he knows the end from the beginning. But at the same time, if Zacchaeus or Martha or Mary or Thomas or any of those that are truly his own have another need, it's not Zacchaeus, come down. This is the day of your visitation. This is when you're going to trust me as your Savior. Salvation is going to come to your house today. But he sees you when you have a broken heart, when your faith is small. He sees you when you have sinned against him and you need restoration. And the Savior knows when to speak your name. And he knows how to speak your name. I know that because when he said, Mary, that's all that was necessary. The intonation, it spoke to her. She recognized him, and she knew that hope was now restored, and her heart was broken no more. And so I rejoice that our Savior, if you have a broken heart, he can heal the brokenhearted. But at the same time, if you have a disobedient heart, he knows how to speak to that as well. We could wish that he would not come around us on those occasions, but he always does. Are you not glad that he came to you when you needed salvation and called you and arranged for you to trust him as Savior? You say, yes. Well now, if you had a broken heart, would you not want him to call your name? Yes. If you were in a controversy with another sister, if two of you sisters were at odds with one another, would you want the Lord Jesus to come and speak to you and tell you what you've done wrong and what you should do, and that this sister with whom you are angry, she was right and you were wrong? You say, I do not know if I would want to hear that. The Savior comes at both times. So, and this is what is important, in the portion that I read to you, there is an ascendancy of importance as he spoke the names. You say, how is that? Think now, and you will understand. Here are two sisters that are in disagreement because one is cumbered about with much serving. That is important to her. Another sister is quite ready to help. But if the Savior is there and I can learn spiritual things, the things of God, I'm going to spend my time with him. And so there is a disagreement. Let us be practical. Let's not be so spiritual. And so there is a disagreement. And what is so sad as that is that this Martha and Mary and Lazarus were three of whom it says Jesus loved this family. There was a Christian family that Jesus loved, and he loved Martha, and because he did, as he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so he does it by speaking her name. And he does it this way. When she's in the wrong, and think of her rudeness in coming up to Jesus and saying, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. And the Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. You see, when he says, Martha, Martha, that's something serious, but not as serious as this. I just mentioned these things. When he comes to Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. He wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat. You say, yes. Now, Satan getting me in his clutches, is that more serious than two sisters having a little disagreement? You say, yes, I see the ascendancy there. Well, now tell me this. When our Savior is in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and our Savior says, Father, Father, is that greater than the others? You say, yes. And when our Savior on the cross says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that the greatest of all? You say, yes. So all of these things are placed in the Word of God, but our Savior speaks the name of man and of God, whether it is something of small importance or of great importance. It's like this. There are some who tithe mint and anise in coming and have left undone the weightier matters of the law. But the Savior said, you ought to have tithed these herbs, mint, anise, and cumin. You ought to have done the weightier matters of the law, and you ought to have done the lesser things of the law as well. And so, are some of you saying, well, if I'm in disagreement with my sister, that doesn't need mending, patching up. Things like that can destroy an entire assembly, and one family can affect another family. That's why the Lord Jesus would say to some of you today, Martha, Martha, you see that affection? You see the intimacy? Only one that knew her and had affection for her could say, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. That is the beauty of our Savior speaking to us, that there is that affection as well as reproof. If someone loves me and reproves me, it is much easier to accept than someone who catches me in a fault and hates me and I hate him and he exposes me in my fault. So will you understand this? That when the Lord Jesus sees what you do wrong and he speaks your name, he repeats your name, it is because he has affection for you. That is why. Beware when you sin against the Savior, and this is his attitude. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. If the Savior sees you sin, and he turns his back on you, woe unto you. If, as he said concerning Jerusalem, your house is left unto you desolate, then all hope is gone. But as long as our Savior will come when we have even small disagreements, sins that are met and is in coming in their comparison, when that happens, our Savior will still come to us and call our name, Martha, Martha. But now, some of us, and this is what is so disheartening, is that our Savior at times anticipates what we're going to do and seeks to avert our going into sin. In the case of Martha, her mistake had already been made. But in the case of Simon Peter, it was something that was going to happen. Now, think of this Savior. I told you that his calling your name means that he knows your name, but he knows more than just your name. It means that he knows the condition of your heart. He knows it today, and he knows the tendency that is yours tomorrow. For all of those that are drawn by alcohol and drugs and the lust of the flesh, he knows the heart of a Samson. He knows the heart of a Simon Peter. And this shows the communion that the Savior has with his Father and the other world. Before Peter knew anything about it, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. Do you realize that Satan is out to get hold of you and destroy you as a child of God? And you know nothing about it. The Lord Jesus does. And when he comes and he says, Simon, Simon, he tells you in advance. I heard this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And so the Lord Jesus is telling us, he speaks to us, Simon, Simon, because of our tendency to think that we are invincible, that Satan can never overcome me. And the Lord Jesus is saying to us, not only will he be able to overcome you, but with all your protestations of faithfulness and strength, verily I say unto thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until thou shalt thrice deny that thou even knowest me. He knows Martha, and he knows what she has done and what must be done to rectify that wrong. And he knows all of us who have that inclination to sin, and he warns us in advance. So our Savior is he who is God manifest in the flesh, and he calls upon the names of men and upon the name of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're so thankful that we have the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows the names of his sheep. We are thankful that he called us when we were lost. And he called us and we came down. And he came into our lives and saved our souls. Our Father, we could wish that he never had to call us again and reprove us. But he has. We are thankful that he loves us that much. And we pray, Father, that we shall be reproved, that we shall repent and be restored, and not boast as Simon did, that these things could never happen in my life. So our Father, our Savior knows us. We rejoice. And someday He's coming back. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And just as He spoke the name of Lazarus and he came forth, He shall speak the necessary words and we shall come forth, or in a moment we shall be changed. We thank You for the greatness of Jesus Christ our Lord, God manifest in the flesh. We give Thee thanks for Him. Amen.